saving money on your next painting project with Menards. Get a paint that combines gorgeous color and durability. Dutch Boys Platinum Plus is a paint and primer with a protective finish that guards against scuffs, spills, and stains. Get $15 off instantly on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on Dutch Boy and Purdy products. Now through March 8th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for hour number two of The Big Show with The Usual Suspects, all present and accounted for. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel. As we lead you into your weekend.
Hey, Joseph.
Yes, sir.
Intern Chris E. had a question. What's up with the weight loss challenge? When do we start? I think we need to mention
Definitely.
First of all, we will have Mo from Houston Family Nutrition joining us next week on Monday to talk a little bit about some of the services they have and really just to give you guys tips, because a lot of you may have a plan, but a lot of you may not have a plan and you don't know where to start. And Mo's going to be here to help give you kind of a boost and a kickstart into your weight loss goals and trying to get slim and sexy and maybe for some of you lose your virginity in 2018. So that'll be awesome. So Mo will be here. And there is still time if you want to sign up. You can text the show. Text our HRMP text line, listener line, whatever it's called. 713-780-3776. Send us your name, your email address, and your height and weight. And then we will make sure when all of this stuff gets sent out and it's officially kicked off, you'll be on the mailing list. So you can send that in as well. But this is going to be a lot of fun. People weigh in, start next week, so get on board. There's going to be some prizes and some fun. We've talked about doing a run. The three of us will meet you at Memorial Park and do a run. We're still going to do that, right?
Sure, I'm in.
I'm down. Yeah, so it'll be fun. I think we're going to have a good time, and I'm hoping we need to come up with a goal. Like, as the three of us need to come up with, and we'll do it off air at some point, but I want us to come up with a goal on how much our listeners lose total.
I think, and we've said this from the very
get-go. Like 1,000 pounds or 500 pounds or, but
like
we need to come up with a goal.
Everybody.
Yeah. Like, you know, I know, like, your friendly neighborhood beer salesman, he's in and his wife is in. So, you know, if they lost 20 pounds, all right, well, together or individually or whatever, I want to come up with a number that we want to reach to make this city not so fat. I'm tired of this city showing up on all the reports as the fattest city in the nation.
That was my thing.
That's bull.
A lot of people do a lot of things to start the new year off, but we wanted to do something that was actually going to make a difference. And we care about the listeners, and we want y'all to be healthier and happier in the process. So if we can help get you guys going and get you focused, then it should be even that much more fun. And if we could partake in the festivities with you, it makes it even better. So we also thought you guys are also going to be the kind of people that would procrastinate a little bit. So we gave you 15 days in January to kind of get your crap straight while we got ours straight and made sure it was worthwhile.
Yep, it's going to be fun.
But the goal, what's a decent goal? Are we throwing out a number, like 10 pounds per person?
So we know there's over 100 people in the contest.
Assuming they all participate. They signed up. They
like I said, over. So let's just say, I think there's like 120 right now signed up.
Does that include interns? Even if they weren't once interns, they should participate?
So let's just round it off to,
he is putting his nose in the bear's ass too, by the way.
Let's say if we can average 100 people participating in the Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge, that is, do we want each one to lose 10 pounds? 20 pounds? I mean, what's our goal here? That's what we need to come up with.
Yeah, I think you do it by amount of participants and
there's 100.
An average
that's right, that's
acceptable
what I'm
weight loss.
So
I would
what are we saying? Everybody loses 15 pounds, 10 pounds? Because some people might only want to lose. They may weigh 200 pounds but only want to lose 20. That can get down to 180. Whereas somebody else might be 350 and want to get down to 250. What's a good acceptable average?
You guys tell me, is 1,000 pounds too much?
Now, keep in mind, we're talking about, a three-month span, essentially? Mid-January to the beginning of April?
I think 1,000 pounds is fair only because I expect more listeners to sign up.
And some people will lose more or less. Let's do this. So they say on average, you should lose a healthy weight, a healthy amount of weight to lose, I believe. And we'll ask Mo on Monday.
Yep.
But I believe on average, it's 3 pounds a week. So,
really?
Yeah. And so I believe the contest is going to be, what, 15 weeks, if I'm not mistaken?
4, 8, 12. Yeah, around there. A little over 3 months, yeah.
So we'll say 12 weeks. It's going to be, because it might be the there might be an extra. So we'll say, so that's third. So each one should lose 36 pounds. 3 pounds a week.
That's okay.
36 pounds. So 36 times 100. So our goal should be 3,500 pounds lost.
Okay. Y'all better
does
not
that
let
sound
us,
like this,
I'm is just my saying, ma- they better not let us down.
Tell me if my math is wrong. But I think that that's a good goal. I think every one of our listeners should be trying to lose 3 pounds a week.
I think 1,000 pounds is fair. Bear just upped the ante
on you. That's fine. I mean, if you want to, that's fine. I mean,
the logic is there.
Clay thought of something interesting on Twitter, something with 97.5. So he said 975 pounds. Maybe we can incorporate that into the 3,000. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought that was a cool idea.
9,700.
750 pounds. That's the goal.
We all come back anorexic. Yes. And
10,000 pounds.
Yeah. Wow. God, that would be a lot, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking every person has to lose 100 pounds.
The easy way out is to say 975 pounds, but we should eclipse that.
But that's a massive goal, though. 3,500 pounds. I mean, whew.
So there's 13 weeks if we start on the 15th.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what, 39 pounds? Wow, that's even higher. Times 100 people. Oh, God, 3,900 pounds? That seems like a lot. I have a feeling some of
I'm
our listeners
you,
are going to cheat and eat a cake and somewhere in the middle of this for no reason, just a whole cake. Yeah, 3,500 may be a little high. Let's go 3,000.
Look,
are you still saying that's too
high? But let's go 3,000. That's hilarious.
Dude, 500 pounds? That's a lot of pounds to knock off from the total.
Yeah.
Because technically, if everybody loses the 3 pounds a week,
okay with
then we
I'm
should be
saying.
At 3,900. Okay?
Okay.
If you give or take, some of those folks may not be able to lose 3 pounds a week because they don't have that much to shed overall.
Right. Right.
So
and some could shed more.
Yeah. So what do you want to go?
I'm good with that. I'm good with three bills.
We'll have to figure this out. Before this show is over, we need to come to a conclusion of whether we're going to do 975 pounds, 2,000 pounds, or 3,000 pounds. I think that should be what's on the table. Those three numbers.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
All right, that's fine.
So we'll figure it out before this show's over.
And if we do it at the figuring out anything like when we do Way Back Wednesday, this is not going to be solved today.
No, and maybe what we need to do is run down the hall and ask like Todd or one of those guys for their input.
Yeah.
Okay.
That might definitely be necessary.
Nah, we'll see. Well, we got more folks signing up, so good
that's
stuff.
That's great.
Yeah.
And while I was out, I had to get permission from you to get into the list so that I could keep adding people that had sent things to me, too. So while you were out. So we continue to add names to the list. So if you still there's still time if you want to join us and make a difference in your life for 2018 and do something positive and join the Weight Loss Challenge. So all you got to do is text us or tweet us or give us your vitals, and we'll put it into the spreadsheet that gets you involved in the program, and then we go from there. So it'll be good.
Blaine has a good idea. He All says, right. just use a percentage. So everyone's sending in their height and weight. So add up the total weight of everybody and then just do a like 15% and just say, all right, our goal is 15% of what everybody weighs total. That's probably not a bad idea. So we won't have that today. But
so why don't we write those two ideas down? And if you have more, we can, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to flag that text that Blaine sent
I think that's a good
in.
Idea. I like
that's not a bad idea.
Because
we
talked
do
about the percentage thing before you left, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it might be a good approach.
Unless you want to do one weight wonders from what you weighed before pre-2000.
No, stop.
And then we could calculate all that.
No.
It's possible.
But I do like that. Like, if we could get everyone to lose 10% and our listeners, 100 listeners, weigh a total of 30,000 pounds, then we would do 10%.
Can you imagine?
If every listener was close to 300.
Well, some of the, based on some of the
and some of them were 350,
entries,
some of them were 200, some of them were 250. So I think maybe 10% of the total of our listeners that are entering might be the good thing. So we'll figure this out. But
as
this
long
is going to be fun.
It's on the listeners, because if they stay dedicated and they do this, then 3,000 shouldn't be a problem.
I swear, if they let us down, they're going to piss me off so bad. I'm going to have to, like, I don't know.
Because what you got to give ain't enough to get to 3,000. I'm just telling you, because you're the maestro of being able to cut weight in a hurry, but you ain't got that much to lose, so.
No, but I could lose 10% in that time frame.
We're not doing percentages now.
But I started at 192 right now. I gained 5 pounds over the holidays. I was at 197. So even if I started right now, I could probably lose the close to it.
Ryan had a good idea.
Okay.
97.5 times 3 for each one of us equals 2,925 pounds. It's not bad.
97.5 times 3?
Take 97.5, or for obviously the station,
uh-huh.
times 3, which is the usual suspects, the three of us. And 97.5 times 3 is 2,925.
I kind of like, though, well, that's not bad. Somebody has a good one here. Why don't you just make it 2,000 pounds since that would equal a ton? I kind of like that. 2,000 pounds is a ton.
I mean, we're getting a lot of good ideas. We might be overwhelmed with good ideas.
Yeah, so we'll keep this. Keep them coming. And if we do get any more, we'll pull that all together. Well, is that Fort Worth Jay on the phone?
Yeah, we could have 2 tons of fun.
2 tons? You want to go 2 tons? This isn't a fat auction. Do I hear 3.5 tons? 3.5 tons right here? Do I hear 3.5 tons? 3.5 tons right here? Who's got cake? 3.5 tons?
Hey, there's a double chin and 3. No, that's right. All right. We don't have the shortest wait times in the business like Raheel, but we try and follow along nicely. Fort Worth Jay, Happy New Year. Welcome in. What's up, buddy?
Gentlemen, Happy New Year, fellas. Y'all doing all right?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Hey, quick. I have just a small request. Today is my fraternity's founding day, birthday, January 5th, 1911. So I was wondering if you could just give a shout out, or let me give a shout out to all the brothers of Kappa Alpha Psi.
You just did it.
Just did, brother.
Oh, yeah, I just did. Well, duh, I just did it all. TSU, Beta Upsilon, and University of Houston, mine, Ada Lambda. Would y'all like to hear something interesting about Ada Lambda?
Sure.
All right, you know, we're in Houston, but we're called the Space City Nukes because the first black man on the moon, his name was Bernard Harris, and he chartered our chapter.
Nice. Oh, that's nice. That's cool.
Yeah, but anyway, and happy birthday, you know, to Colin Kaepernick, too, even though he ain't got no job. We still ride for him. And y'all have a good weekend, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it, brother.
Happy New Year.
Happy birthday to Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah. Okay, Mo
yep.
from Houston Family Nutrition
yep.
is listening. And he corrected me. He said that a good rate of weight loss is 1 to 2 pounds per week. So maybe I'm just a little aggressive.
Ambitious.
Yeah. But he said if we can get 150 people, we can get 3,000 pounds. I don't know that we can get to 150, to be honest with you. But we'll figure this out.
Well,
I'm saving all these. I really do. I think my vote is going to go to adding it all up, how much our contestants weigh, and then doing like a percentage.
Okay.
But we'll figure it out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, so we're going to stay on schedule with breaks, but we still got a lot to get to. We touched on a little football, and there's a little more that I'd like to get in at some point to catch up with what you guys got to do when I was out. But also, we've got basketball to talk about. We should get to that next. Rockets with a tough loss last night against the team they were obsessed with, that they're obsessed with. And the obsession continues because they lost. So we'll talk about the Rockets, the Warriors, and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Where all my parents at? Parents, make some noise. Y'all can stop. You and your kids are not friends. Black folk ain't got to clap. I'm not talking to y'all. Y'all know who I'm talking to. Because I rule my house with fear and terror. I have a daughter. She 8. She walk around the house. I just jump out of nowhere and just choke. Hey, your daddy don't play. And let her go. She go outside, somebody asks her, hey, you want to get in trouble? No, you know my daddy don't play.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You heard the man on an FEF Friday. It's The Usual Suspects. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel as we continue to roll on. That was the comedy of Ali Sadiq. As you know, that F stands for fun and funny on a Friday. And Barry has been so gracious to provide us with the comedian of the week. And this week it happens to be Ali Sadiq.
Ali Sadiq, man, one of the best in the business.
Comedian of the week, because I honestly didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, and I'm a Houstonian.
Well, get with AJ and explain it to him so that he can like it too. It's just that simple.
I was not expecting that, but that's hilarious.
I wasn't either.
But yeah, I mean, I like this once a week thing. I mean, I've got to start checking out some of these comments.
It's kind of the point. I wanted to, because, you know, me being in the scene, I see and know of these folks. Wait. And I know, what? Have I mentioned that before,
you're
that I'm a stand-up comedian? Yeah,
next thing you know, you're going to be telling people you're funny?
on Twitter.
Yeah, really? What's going
on? In fact, I do. I'm going to have a shameless plug right here, but I am headlining the Joke Joint. It'll be my first actual weekend headlining. I'm pretty excited about that. I headlined a night at the Houston Improv. That was a night. But right. But getting a weekend with four shows, that's a
big deal.
That's a big deal. I'm not going to lie.
That's huge.
And I'll be headlining February 2nd and 3rd. At the Joke Joint. So we'll be doing some giveaways. And I might be the comedian of the week that Friday. Just saying. I mean, they'll give you three things, you know, three jokes, and then it'll maybe entice you to want to come out to the show.
But we do have a board of directors. Do I get over this? Nick and I can still outnumber you.
Oh, damn it. I can't even be comedian of the week on my own show that week I'm headlining for the first time.
Come on, man. Put a picture of Barry Warner on Twitter.
Yeah, that evaluation.
Come see the Jewish radio legend.
And send valuation new producer.
I've heard, and I can't confirm this yet, but NBA beat writer Kelly Aiko might be there to cover the entire weekend and write about
it. Haven't.
That would be fantastic to break down the analytics of a
comedy show?
Yeah, of a foreplay from Barry Barry Laminack.
I know Joel's not coming. Are you going to go, Nick?
No, I'll go for
sure. I'll go.
He left the door open.
Yeah, I'll go for sure. Why
do you know I'm not going?
I just know.
The only reason I wouldn't go is because you'd single me out and say you're not going. Bust my ass on stage.
I would never do that. First of all, I'm a professional, and I don't heckle the crowd because I don't. That's a two-way street. I don't agree in the crowd heckling comedians while they're on stage. There's just no place for that, and vice versa. I don't go into the crowd and mess with people. So I wouldn't do that to you. Okay. No, I would never do that.
You really don't do that? So that's not your style.
You've been to one of my shows. You've seen me. I don't mess with anyone in the crowd.
That makes sense, Nick, if you think about it, because Juggalo Trey went. And if there was like the most...
That would be the biggest target there.
And plus, a lot of it would be inside jokes, and the vast majority of the people in the crowd are not going to know...
But you can ask him.
I mean, I'm sure there's going to be listeners.
Have you sexually assaulted somebody? And I'm sure people would laugh. Yes. Like when you ask him that, he's like, wait, I don't know. I can't remember. Right. No.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be like, hey, what's up, Joke Joint? How you guys doing? Yeah. Hey, make some noise if you've ever been beat up by a bear. No.
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't do that to you.
Someone had to get that in.
I wouldn't do that to you. Make some noise if you like big Latinas. I wouldn't do that. I'm not going to, because they wouldn't get those jokes.
Right.
Yeah. But no, I think it'll be fun. So I'm hoping my goal, and if the listeners want to help out and want to come see me, I'd love it. My goal is to sell out the Friday early show.
That's my goal.
Friday 8 o'clock. That's my goal.
Now,
so if you're
they
buying
sell
tickets
out Friday early, you're giving how many hugs?
All of the hugs.
I'm telling you, from Barry.
Anyone that wants a hug after the show, I'll hug you.
Post-show
if I sell it out.
Groping,
yes,
is a sellout.
Yeah,
for
you can grab my ass, whatever. If I sell the Friday
early show,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, old checks all around. Just remember, I get to do that too, though.
You're into the doorbell?
Yeah, I'll ring your doorbell if you ring mine.
Wow.
Yeah,
all right.
I'm
gonna
we'll
wear
do
the t-shirt
that.
For Lauren?
No. Okay. No. All no.
That's
no.
not gonna happen.
Not happening.
I did try.
Yeah, it was a good try. But I'll also have some tickets to give away too. So.
Well, good deal. See, again, the gift that keeps on giving.
And I'm trying to talk Lance Zierlein into doing a special guest set. I doubt he will, but I'm trying to.
I've heard that he can dabble pretty well because he's into theater.
Yep.
As well.
Improv, yeah.
Yeah, not just the improv. He's done the improv and he's done some productions at, I think, either the Alley Theater or at some of the smaller performance halls here in town. So he's a thespian.
Right.
Yeah, so that'd be good.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm hoping, nothing would make me happier than if I sold that Friday early show up. So that's the goal.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, we'll do our part. We'll keep pushing it and tell people to get their asses off the couch and get
that's
out.
Right.
So that'll be good. All right, so we're almost done with this segment already, but we do have a lot to get to.
Rockets.
Rockets for sure. They continue. Boy, tough schedule for them because it's home road, home road. It's like almost staying on the road. They come home on a back-to-back to play the Warriors. They're already on an airplane heading to Michigan to take on the Pistons tomorrow night. No Nene, as he's going to continue to be out along with James Harden. That news coming up. But we need to break down that game of last night and talk about a Rockets team that, after being on such a high, winning 14 in a row, started slumping, and then they lost their best player. So we'll break all that down for you and the festivities of last night and the schedule ahead. Coming up in the next segment, don't go anywhere. At the midway point, so take a break, get some juice, Gatorade, fill up, and we'll be back.
And if you want to get in touch with us, 713-780-3776. That is the HRNP listener line. Get on it. Call us. We want to hear what you have to say.
Call, text, or tweet. We'll be right back. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the second half of the big show. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel. As we continue with The Usual Suspects, Rockets lose last night to the Warriors. I mentioned that Nene going to miss tomorrow night's game at Detroit, or Detroit, as they have a new arena that they really can't fill, Nick, as they go to play the Pistons. Bobby Brown, don't be cruel, but he's gone.
At least for
now. It was not his prerogative, but Daryl's. And to make room for Gerald Green, who they have to take care of, because this guy was the find of all finds. The way he's playing and shining.
Tell you what, the crow that I have to eat today, he balled his ass off.
Craig Koshkin did the same thing when he was feeling. He's like, man, this guy is just a warm body.
Well, he showed he could play in Boston. Off the bench, he was a spark plug for that team. So I wasn't necessarily sleeping on Gerald Green, but 27 a night?
Here's the thing.
I wouldn't think he would be coming off the bench and not even being the first, second, or third option necessarily, but he's really given him no choice. If he continues to shoot like that, he's going to be he's basically this year's Lou Williams.
He's getting screwed, too, because they're saying for his first five games with the Rockets. Well, his first game, he was taking his kids to school during the morning, and he didn't score in his first game at Boston. But since that first game, which is why he's getting screwed in the average, if you just average for his first four games, he's averaging over 20 points a game.
Well, so it was 18 and 10, right, was his first two? And then he's gone 27 and 29.
But he hit at least 2 3-pointers in each of those first two games. So it wasn't like it was a bad game. It was just a limited game. And not to mention the fact that I think he was wearing like Trevor Ariza's shoes.
He borrowed Ariza's shoes for the first game.
Just to play the game. So,
and shout out to Tony Nyla, the equipment manager, who worked all day.
Got him some red 11s, huh?
He had Trevor's shoes. They were
those are the red 11s? Those are Trevor's?
No.
Oh.
He actually bought those himself. Brought those.
Okay.
So he for the first game, he wore Trev's shoes. And he had to work with the company here in Houston that does their jerseys and uniforms with Nike, because it's a whole new deal. And it was shipped. And Tony, instead of getting everything ready for the guys in the locker room, had to rely on the ball boys and everything else. He had to go to the airport in Boston, pick it up, beat traffic, get back, and he got the jersey to Gerald like an hour before game time. That was just for the first game. And so, like I said, and luckily he was staying in Boston. His kids were in school in Boston. So for the first game, he was there. He happened to be close by. They signed him. But you didn't expect this.
No, and I don't think I don't know that he's looking like he can obviously shoot. I don't think anybody's doubting that this guy can shoot. I don't know if I would expect 27 a game. I think somewhere, like I was saying yesterday, 11 is what his last game before the 27-point game was 10. I would probably lean more towards him averaging close to 10 a game versus closer to 27. But the way he's shooting, if he averages 15 a game, that's found money, especially once you get back healthy. Because essentially, by waiving Bobby Brown and adding Gerald Green, this team just got a whole lot deeper.
I was going to say, you found a rotational guy.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to do this for a long stretch of time. Just until James gets back, you need someone that can at least absorb some of the points and the offense that you're losing with James being out.
Or just pick up the slack for Ryan Anderson when he's at home.
You got a forklift?
Because he can't make a three at home to save his life.
Slack, you better call it a weight loss challenge, because you're going to need to pick up a ton with Ryan Anderson.
The good thing
Anderson.
Is that he's able to show these results pretty quickly. So he's a three-point shooter. You know the system is either shoot a three-pointer or attack the basket. That's been their system. That's their MO. So the fact that he's actually pulling off, because there's been other players that they've been trying to use as rotational players like Black, and just hasn't been able to, like, as much as I kind of like his intensity, he does have moments where he's pretty intense.
I think the stage is too big for Tarp.
He's a little green.
It's disappointing.
In terms of experience.
Here's the thing on Gerald Green. People forget, and Gerald's obviously wanting you to forget. He's acting like this is his first time ever playing with his hometown team, and he's making the most of it. And he's wearing the jerseys and everything. He was here once before, And no one ever questioned his talent. And they saw it when he won the dunk contest. But he had a whole lot of growing up to do. And he had to mature a lot because he was caring so much about what was going on off the court.
Oh, so he had a personality issue. You wouldn't get that vibe from him at all right now.
No, he was worried about the chicks and the life and the clubbing. And I talked to friends of mine that coached him with other teams, too, that said, look, there's never been a question about how talented this kid is, but is it ever going to sink in to what he has to do, the work ethic, the little things you don't see, so that he matures into a real NBA player? There's no doubt
he has.
Not
to mention the fact that this guy had a career-high performance of 41 points when he was a Phoenix Sun, and he did it against the Mavs, and he just torched him. Or I think he did it against the Thunder at the time when Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook were still playing. He absolutely torched him. So there's no question that the guy can score. He's kind of like Michael Beasley in that if you give him the minutes, he'll score.
So on that point, Nick, then you'll agree with me here. There's a reason why that guy was unemployed this year. And it wasn't because he wasn't a good offensive player. His reputation preceded him from so many different places that teams were like, maybe not. But guess what? All it takes is one. And lucky enough for Rockets fans, that one was his hometown team who brought him back, who gave him this opportunity, and he is maxing it out. Well, and it's great to see.
Yeah, and I was curious too. Why was this dude? Why didn't he have a job somewhere?
That's what I mean.
And again, it's two games, but it looked like he was just a victim of a numbers game in Boston, where they didn't bring him back because they had just as much time. I mean, they were on the fence. When it came down to cuts, there was three names, and his was one of them, and he ended up being the odd man out. They could only keep two.
Fair enough, but after that, he went to Milwaukee, and he should have been an easy guy to fix into his day in their rotation.
The
yes, he did.
He threw under the bus. He was like, why did Milwaukee sell him?
Yeah, and then the Bucks just let him go. So in a situation
but he never played
like Milwaukee,
with Milwaukee.
No, because it didn't work out. They worked him out. He was with them. He was working out.
Oh, I thought you meant he actually played with Milwaukee.
No. And then they let him go. So that's what I'm saying. Sometimes some of this, because your question is the same as mine, like why is this guy on the open market and he really can play? But again, reputation preceded him in certain ways, but God love the fact that he found it, got it straightened out, and now he's doing it for a team that he's always wanted to play for. It is the Cinderella story.
And I don't want to be that guy, because yesterday I got accused of being a Rocket hater, which I found to be hilarious.
That's normally my job.
Yeah. But I'm going to read you his games played, and then I'll quickly go through his average points per game, and you'll kind of see it. So first year in Boston, 32 games, 5 points a game. 81 games, 10 points a game. He played the one game in 07-08 in Houston, 29 games in Minnesota, and he averaged 5 points there. 38 in Dallas, 5 points there. 60 in Indy, 7. So this dude's not averaging a ton of points a game. He's averaging somewhere around 8 on average, but up until 2013. Then he goes to Phoenix for 82 games. He averages almost 16, a little better. In 74 games, he averages 12. And then he goes to Miami, 69 games, less than 10. 47 in Boston, he averaged 5. And now in five games in Houston, he's averaging 16. So like I said, those numbers, he's not going to maintain this. It's great, but he does give you some spark off the bench. And he's not, you know, to me, he's this year's Lou Williams. Hopefully he could be a little more consistent. Hopefully he doesn't falter down the stretch, but you do have a guy that fits this offense.
See, here's the thing. When Harden comes back, you don't need him to be major double-digit figures, right? He just has to fill that void till James gets back. And then whenever you call his number, if he gives you the energy, the spark, and he can make some shots, he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. The reason why those numbers are deceiving a little bit is because you can say, well, he exploded in Phoenix. But he exploded in Phoenix because he was with a bad team where he got tons of shots.
Yeah, well, playing time.
Yeah, and a lot of
playing
time.
On a bad team, he was one of the better guys.
Right. So now when you get James back, he's not going to get the minutes, but you're not expecting the points either. You're just expecting that he can be that on that second unit, or when his number's called, he can give you a spark, and he can make shots when he's open because Chris Paul's proven he can find people. And so he's maximizing it. I'm not mad at anything with Gerald Green. The thing that I'm mad about from last night's game that just drove me nuts was, and it wasn't the 16-1 second half run by the Golden State Warriors either, because you can say that they aren't defending, which is true. But the execution down the stretch again, and Gerald Green was knee-deep in the middle of it, Mike D'Antoni, for being an offensive coach, still has to have more discipline down the stretch in games. The bad shot selection with a fresh shot clock from 40 feet out from Chris Paul and Gerald Green on two consecutive possessions.
Gordon will do that too.
But isn't that their offense? Shot them in the ass. No, their offense.
I mean, their offense is quick shots.
Right.
Get it up.
But good shots. Like quick shots, like you get it over midcourt, you make that first pass, someone's got action moving away from the ball to where they're going to either that or dribble penetration is going to create an open look, and you're right there at the line, whether it be in the corner or on the wing. But when you're coming dead on from midcourt and you're yanking from 40-some feet from a guy that is defending you at the three-point line already, and you're doing it with 20-some seconds on the shot clock, that's horrible.
But he had just made to his, I mean, in his defense, his previous two buckets, he had a hand in his face and made both of them, not to mention that one in the corner where he fell down
for the four-point play.
But so he was making those all night. I felt like that was a heat check shot, and I'm fine with that because he was hot. If that goes in, that's a completely different situation.
No, but he did the heat check earlier in that fourth quarter on the wing. But what I'm saying is when you get down to crunch time, and he could be as hot as a bonfire in June. All I'm saying is in crunch time, when you need to stay close enough to where you can try and close the gap quickly, you don't need a 40-footer with a full shot clock. You need – this is where you got to put the brass tacks down and say, we got to execute here. We got to get a two at the very worst.
That's not their game, though.
No, but you got to get a bucket. I'm saying, obviously, and that's not what
they
want.
But they live by the three, die by the three.
Sure, but not that three. I'm just saying they rushed a lot, and Chris Paul got frustrated by the officials, and then he just started launching. And it was still a single-digit game at the time, and they didn't need that. And there's got to be a little bit more discipline with those guys down the stretch.
Sometimes he's arguing about calls. I mean, every player does this, but he'd be arguing for calls that he shouldn't be arguing for. Like, he does that a lot.
Right, and then he doesn't get the ones that he really needs down the stretch around the basket where – and again – I was mad as hell on the one call that I thought he got screwed on the offensive foul. And then when they replayed it.
And then you see the hook.
Saw the hook.
I didn't see the hook.
Yeah.
Live, it was hard to see.
Yeah.
It was hard to see in real time, honestly. I said that too. And then when you look at the replay, you can totally see the hook. So I can understand why the ref didn't call. I would have gone with a no call, but maybe it is an offensive if you.
Nah, he hooked it.
He traveled.
It was the right call.
Yeah, he kind of gave up on the play and traveled after that too. So you got to call something.
The Warriors were actually surprised they got the call. That was so funny about that, but yeah.
One of the other things I noticed, and I know we got to go to break, but one of the other things that I noticed about the game that I thought was a good sign is with Harden out, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but with Harden out, you miss his penetration. You miss his ability to get to the bucket. And Eric Gordon is good at that. And it seems like he's been doing that a lot more with Harden out because now he doesn't have to stand on the wing and expect a pass from Harden. He's going to, he's in charge now of getting to the, I mean, Chris Paul does it too. Don't get me wrong, but it looked like Eric Gordon was dead set on getting to the rim last night.
He feels more obligated to be a part of the offense when James Harden is out. No question.
Yeah. He gets it. There are certain guys that can't understand when you have to differentiate your game and flip the switch. He plays the role Barry's talking about when Harden's in the lineup, but he gets it enough to know, look, with James out, I've got to play a different role to where I'm more ball dominant and I'm more of an aggressor with the basketball, making things happen for not only myself, but for my teammates. He gets that, whereas a lot of guys can't draw that line and then know when they have to assume more responsibility and do more things, or they try and do too much. Eric Gordon's great,
yeah.
And you're right. The biggest thing is that TNT were ragging on the Rockets for defense. Luka Mbamute is out. PJ Tucker barely played. Clint Capella's coming back from facial surgery.
Dude, it's the cheap take these days because the Rockets have dealt with that bad reputation for so long. It's partly their fault. But now, especially these guys that don't watch TV, that hot box score take, they didn't watch a second of the game, and they're like, oh, the Rockets play poor defense. Were you watching the game?
Yeah.
Damn officials. It cost
Yeah,
them
I mean,
one.
Yeah, PJ Tucker holding Curry. On several trips down. I mean, they were playing good defense.
Yep.
Not great defense, but it's been better. For a while, it was bad. Look at their plus-minus. You look at their plus-minus, it goes down. I mean, it's down under 10 now, but so is Golden State's. It's going to fluctuate, but they were giving up 103 a game. Now they're almost at 106. So their defense did get worse.
Yep.
But that's going to happen when you lose Mbamute and Capella for a stretch of games.
No question.
Your defense is going
Everybody
to go.
Was worried about
it's
James,
going to suffer. Yeah.
If you lose those two guys, that's then your defensive rating is going to go defense. In the tank.
When I asked Clint Capella about that too, that was the first thing. I said, what are you going to miss about him? He said, his defense.
Yeah.
Weber, who hasn't really done anything, he's another guy that his offense is not there, but his defense
he's a great defender.
Is way far. It's way further along than his offense. And if you can keep guys like that, I think it would help.
He got hurt his senior year at VCU, but if he doesn't get hurt, He breaks the all-time NCAA record for steals.
Wow.
Yeah, so he can defend. He's a good on-ball defender.
Fast.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. If you want to talk about the Rockets, please do. If you want to talk about the Texans football playoffs coming up this weekend, whatever's on your mind, get it off your chest. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us up on Twitter, usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4. As we continue to roll on, if you want to chime in on the Rockets' tough loss last night to the Warriors, please join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us up on Twitter. I just really believe those last two possessions, or those two possessions the Rockets had in the final 3.5 minutes were horrible. And that's a sign that the Rockets have been dangerously flirtatious with in the last 2 weeks in terms of their execution in the final 3 minutes of a game. Boston is another example of it. The Laker game, where it's one person, when Harden's out, because he got hurt the Laker game, it became ISO ball with Chris Paul instead of James Harden. Just insert your superstar into the space given to the guy that's going to dribble 20 seconds off the shot clock and then try and go one-on-one for consecutive possessions. They're not the team they were 2 years ago when we were used to seeing that. This team has too many weapons. Nick, you mentioned it. Gordon can create off the dribble, especially if Harden's not in there. If it's not working with a James or a Chris Paul, run something for Gordon where he either gets an ISO opportunity on the wing or he just dribble penetrates and everybody spreads out so you get an open shot. They don't do it, and the coaches have to step in.
I'm with you. And whatever, look, if that's what it takes to get a better fourth quarter, like, I'm okay with the slower fourth quarters against most teams. I'm not comfortable with a slow fourth quarter against this Golden State Warriors team, and that's what I tweeted out yesterday. You can't have a 15-point, 20-point fourth quarter with this Warriors team because they have too many options just like you do. And so, yeah, if you can create some sort of isolation play with Gordon, as he just looks like a guy that doesn't have too much finesse when he penetrates to the basket, but he can do it. Like, he's good at doing it. He just doesn't look like a guy that does. You look at him on paper, he's 6 feet, 3 inches tall, or 6'4", he's a guard. You think he's a guy that can dribble and penetrate to the basket. And he does. He does look like that. But he doesn't have that finesse, and it doesn't look like he's going to, but he can. And I don't know if that's the reason why they don't create more plays for him, but he certainly is a guy that can create plays. He can attack the basket, and when his shot is not falling, when the three-point shot is not falling, he recognizes that he can attack the basket. He does it. Like, he's realistic about how good his – and honestly, as much as I get on Ryan Anderson, he's like that too. He stops shooting when he's not really hitting the three ball.
Speaking of Ryan Anderson, you didn't get to watch the telecast or hear it,
nope.
Right?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
The TNT, right? Because I wasn't on 1758
right.
Or whatever AT&T Sports is. They said that Ryan Anderson presents a terrible matchup problem for Draymond Green. I was like, what? That doesn't make it. Draymond Green, the defensive player of the year, and they said that Ryan Anderson creates problems for him. Unless I heard it wrong.
I don't know that I heard that, but it is the year of the Lord.
I was like, what?
And Ryan does rely on the Lord a lot. So with that, I mean, it could be a very tough matchup. I'm telling you what, I think he needs to do something different because obviously going to the heavens for help and pointing up there is not working out for him. But it's just, that is the most perplexing thing to me of any situation I've seen with an NBA player in years. How you shoot it worse at home than any other building in the league. And you can't figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he's gotten a little bit better about it, about the whole shooting better on the road and not at home. But, yeah, he does have situations. Again, like I've said it a million times, and I think I've been dubbed the Ryan Anderson hater, but when you have one job and you got to hit three-point shots.
And you're paid handsomely to do that job.
And I told everybody in the beginning of the season when he was giving Chris Paul this credit, and you should. But he shouldn't rely too much on saying that because, oh, man, I love Chris Paul. He's the reason why I'm shooting well. Because if he does get into a slump, I mean, I can tell you a million times where James Harden passes the ball perfect to Ryan Anderson, and he just wide open and he misses it.
And, Barry, here's the thing to your point from the last segment. I would say that the shots Ryan Anderson gets in the flow are exactly what we're talking about because they're threes, but they're deep. But to me, if you're not making your shot, just specifically on Ryan Anderson now, get after that, you shouldn't be looking to shoot the 40-footer that you made in the past until you figure out why you're not making the 23-foot, 9-inch three-point shot. Because a lot of it that he's missing now, to quote Bill Worrell, they're from Galveston, when they should just be along the arc. And I did that for you.
Thank you.
But that's a huge pet peeve of mine. When you don't have to and you're still loading it up from 40 feet away instead of getting into your flow, your rhythm. And one of the things where Gordon figured it out was he was already setting his feet and loading before the ball got there. So all he had to do was simplify the process. Just go through with my stroke and I'll be good. Whereas Anderson is trying to come off a screen or he's coming off a movement, catches the ball, he's still moving, and he loads up from 40 when literally there's no one out there. He could actually step in to his shot and he doesn't. But he's awful at home.
Yeah, that part I don't understand. You know, the sad thing, they are two, the Rockets are 2-6 in their last 8, 4-6 over their last 10. They had that outstanding winning streak. You look up after all that, and then you go, you scuffle a little bit, and you find yourself 3 back. They couldn't shake the Warriors. And
they win last night. They're even in the loss column with Golden State.
Yeah.
But here's what I'm saying to Nick, too, was, look, I took a lot of heat on Twitter because I said, look, in the Boston game, the Rockets reverted to James Harden and the Rockets of 2 years ago. They're too good of a team now to revert to isolation, run the shot clock down, let James go one-on-one for multiple possessions when you have an Eric Gordon that can take it off the dribble. When you have Chris Paul didn't play in that game, but when you have options of guys that are talented enough, that you trust enough to make shots, that you don't have to successively run 10 plays in a row for James Harden to run the clock down and hope that he makes an off-balance step-back three when you're in a one-possession game.
I don't know. I don't know. What was the last part? Say the last part again, because I faded out, but you were...
If you're in a one-possession game, you're too talented a team now as opposed to 2 years ago. To where you shouldn't have the only option being James Harden runs the shot clock down, goes one-on-one, and hopes to get an off-balance step-back three to go on successive possessions. When you have, as Nick said, a guy like Eric Gordon that can do it off the dribble as well as he spots up. You have other options of other guys that can get you open opportunities for buckets.
But isn't that
essentially what you're doing, I'm agreeing with you in the fact that
I'm saying, isn't that what you rely on your star for, though, at the end of the day? That's why you have a superstar. At the end of the day, if Golden State needs a shot, who's taking that shot? It's going to be Curry.
Not necessarily. Or Thompson. Yeah, they got options.
But,
and that's what I'm trying to say. The Rockets do, too.
But their star. Well, at the end of the day, who is Cleveland going to let take that last shot? It's not going to be Isaiah Thomas.
It could be.
It's going to be LeBron. Now, he might want to defer to somebody else, but I guess that's why I'm like...
It depends on the defense.
I see your point about it being deeper, but at the end of the day, do you want your star being the one who's carried you, the game is in his hands, or do you want to be like, well, Ryan Anderson was open, and that's why he's here to shoot the corner three?
If it's working, he's successful, he's making buckets, then I can see going back to that well because you feed the hot hand. But if it's not working, it defeats the purpose of what you said. And it's true what this team is, which is a three-point shooting team.
And quick threes.
And they run their offense.
Yeah.
Quick threes. See, and you mentioned that too. They run 20 seconds off the shot clock before James starts trying to get his shot off. It's easier for the defense to defend. They can double him or take it out of his hands or force him into a really tough look. And they're not playing their style because they're not going fast. They're not getting into it. They're not moving the ball. They're actually doing the exact opposite of what got them to that point of being successful. They're slowing it down. Everybody's standing around. And then with 5 seconds on the clock, it's like, James, go save us.
Yeah, I guess from that point, you're right. Because I think maybe in that case, maybe Chris Paul needs to be the one with the ball in his hand and find James in the corner or on the wing for the three.
I'm with you. I said it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
If it's not going for James, hand it off.
It's tough, though.
Give CP3 a shot at it, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Look, the good news is the defenders are coming back, so you can solve that problem. When the two are back on the floor at the same time, Harden and Paul, you have options, and you become more like the Warriors, and hopefully you can compete with them, because gosh darn it, we're obsessed with them. They are the Golden State Warriors. We'll be back with more. This is ESPN 97.5.